This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, bootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fun game last night. Lakers take care of the Mavericks in a little Luka Doncic revenge, mini revenge tour. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. But they're not the only team, Pearl, that is surging post the trade deadline. The Lakers, clearly with the Luka trade, but also the Golden State Warriors, now with Jimmy Butler playing defense with Draymond Green, has unlocked another level to Golden State. So we're asking you today, who do you trust more to make a run to the finals? Would it be the Lakers or would it be the Warriors?
It's so funny, too, because it is very hard to figure out the NBA because who the Warriors beat last night?
The Hornets.
But
they beat the Mavs not that long ago.
Yeah, the Warriors actually have a pretty easy schedule coming up, so they could make up some ground. I think the Lakers, because their defense has been so fantastic, even before Luka got there. You know what? The sea change to me in the NBA, and I heard a great quote from DeMarcus Cousins about this the other day. Like, you do not need a big man to be good at defense. You need a Lou Dort type. Mm. DeMarcus Cousins was outright laughing out loud at the Rudy Gobert Defensive Player of the Year. The people who vote on NBA awards don't understand the first thing about basketball for some reason. Rudy Gobert is a gigantic defensive problem.
Yeah.
Like, you bring him out top and your team is cooked and he keeps winning Defensive Player of the Year. Cousins is like the new NBA. You need 6-7 guys who can cover on the wing. And that's what the Lakers have with like guys like Jared Vanderbilt. That's what the Warriors now have with Jimmy Butler. So I think they're both actually in the mix, but I would lean Lakers. I mean, come on, LeBron and Luka. It's a little more attractive to me than Jimmy and Steph.
It is working out really well with LeBron and Luka. I mean, first couple games, a little bit dicey. But what we saw last night was, first of all, the sort of inside-outside game where, like, Luka's lobbing the ball into LeBron, who's, like, yamming home these dunks that I don't know how he still does this at 40. But he's a force. And Luka came out really strong in this game. And you could tell there was an emotional aspect to it, no doubt. And LeBron kind of took him home in the fourth quarter. And I don't know if that's your recipe, where Luka's conditioning may not have to get to, you know, tip-top shape if LeBron is there to pick things up in the fourth quarter. And he was. Now, again, they're playing against a shorthanded Mavericks team. And it just made the trade look even worse because...
There's nothing... It's dead already. They should fire him, like, now, I think.
Well, the only thing is Nico Collins... He's definitely
Nico
getting
Harris,
Nico Harris. Excuse me, Nico Collins is safe. He plays wide receiver for the Houston Texans. He's fine. Nico Harrison, the GM for the Mavs. You know, the question is, was it ownership that really didn't want to pay Luka? Because if he's actually covering for ownership, who's like, you know what, we don't want to pay $350 million to one player because we're actually in it for, you know, gambling, and we're actually casino magnates that are posing as sports owners, but our whole thing is actually just to get sports betting and build casinos in the state of Texas, then they don't want to spend the $350 million, then they can't. Firing Nico Harrison, if you ordered the code red, doesn't seem right.
Right, but you should have gotten more for him.
Oh, well, definitely. I mean, yeah,
that
but they
alone.
Had to keep it so quiet. I'm not defending Nico Harrison. I'm just saying I think that ownership's hands are very dirty.
That could be true. But even that being said, like, they got to get a... Do they want to lose, though? That doesn't make any sense. Like, why would losing help you build all these casinos?
I think they think they can be, like, be a fringe playoff. Half the league makes the playoffs. They probably believe, listen, we can be a playoff team.
Yeah.
We might not be a title contender necessarily, but we can be a playoff team. We can keep our fan base engaged and also have... gain outsized influence in the state of Texas, use the team as a way to throw our weight around and try to get this legislation passed where they can get to the real golden goose, which is the casinos.
But wouldn't having your team be good be the best way to do that? Like the Mets, Steve Cohen wants to build a casino in Queens, and he's putting more money into it because he wants to win, because he thinks it'll help everything. Why would the Mavs be like, let's stink, and that therefore get the casino? It makes no sense.
Well, I don't know if they think they're going to stink. That's the thing. I think there's a middle ground of mediocrity slash you can pretend like you're going for it without paying $350 million to one guy.
There's a salary floor in the NBA. I don't think it's like that. Their salary is not going to end up being that different. Yeah, I know about the aprons and stuff. That being said, like, I think this guy thought he could win with Anthony Davis or Kyrie Irving. And I think that was a terrible miscalculation.
Terrible. 855-212-4227. You can also vote on our poll at Maggie and Pearl on X. Who do you trust more to make a finals run? Would it be the Lakers or the Warriors? Now, the entire NFL world is at the scouting combine in Indianapolis. And I'm going to be, excuse me, totally honest with you. As I recover from my cold.
Yeah.
Totally honest with you. I did not see this team having a quarterback competition. And usually, Pearl, these GMs and coaches say absolutely nothing at the podium. But hold my beer, Chris Ballard from the Indianapolis Colts, who steps to the podium and says the Colts will be having an open QB competition.
We drafted Anthony High knowing it was going to take some time, all right? And we knew there's going to be some hiccups along the way. And it's you know, I know we all want a finished product right now. I do. You do. Fans do. We all do. But I think as he continues to progress in his young career, us adding competition, I think will help up everybody's game.
Wow. Wait, this is a bad sign.
You're shocked about this? How can you be shocked about this? He got benched last year.
No, I understand he got benched because he took himself out of a game.
And he stinks. Well, his numbers stink. I'm a huge fan, but he's, he's the worst statistical quarterback we've seen in 35 years of football.
No, I get it. The 8 touchdowns, the 12 picks.
Like, look at the percentage.
I know. I know, Perloff. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
This is a terrible sign because it means two things. This is a guy you drafted 2 years ago with the 4th overall pick. And you knew that he was raw coming out of Florida, but you're now 2 years in. I know he got hurt the first year, but you're 2 years into this thing. Year three is where he could, in theory, make a lot of improvements. You got an offensive-minded head coach, came from the Philadelphia Eagles. You set everything up for this dude. So you're going to bring in a quarterback competition, which means, A, he's not the guy, and you're already going to abandon ship on the 4th overall pick. So basically, kiss all of your jobs goodbye, pending a miracle.
Well, Chris Ballard is Teflon, but go ahead.
And two, or Anthony Richardson needs the competition to light a fire under his butt. And that is also a terrible situation because year three with a quarterback taking top 5, Pearl, they should be taking ownership of not just their own careers, the whole team. Joe Burrow year three, Josh Allen year three, Lamar Jackson's winning MVPs. You know, I'm talking about the guys that, like, at least you should be, there should be no thought whatsoever that you need somebody to push you. You need footsteps behind you to actually get the most. Like, this is bad.
I think a bigger surprise is that he would be starting because he had a 47.7 completion percentage last year. So that the side is not them going to the podium. I think most teams would have moved on already.
It's 2 years.
47.7%.
You drafted him top 4. Even the Jets had moved on from Zach Wilson at that point. I mean, you're really going to... You knew the guy was a project. You know he's raw.
Right.
And then you're going to pull the ripcord after 2 years.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
that's a disaster, dude.
Well, yeah. I mean, it already is that. I mean, the Panthers pulled the ripcord on Bryce really fast. And then they brought him back in.
Yeah. No.
They benched him, one game into his second season?
No, but look what happened, though. He got benched. Andy Dalton takes over. Andy gets in a car accident. Thankfully, he's fine. Bryce comes back in, but look what happened. He actually played better.
First of all, let's see. The Panthers have not won a lot of football games. But, yeah, I mean, Anthony Richardson is obviously not working.
You think it's over?
No, I mean, I personally like, the only reason I like Anthony Richardson is because he's such a highlight player. But this, I keep going to this clip. After a game against the Vikings, Kevin O'Connell says, "I know everyone doesn't understand you, but you are going to be a star in this NFL." And I love Kevin O'Connell. So therefore, like, there's something there. But he's, the problem with the Colts is not that Anthony Richardson is not good, is that he's 22 and they have to make a decision on his contract long before he's ready. As Chris Ballard said, it's going to take 5 years to figure out if this guy's an NFL quarterback. He's 2 years younger than some of the guys in this draft. So the timing is, it's a disaster for the Colts. Yep. And I think it's a good warning. Don't draft a 20-year-old project, because you're going to have to decide on his contract before he reaches maturity. And Richardson clearly has not reached maturity. So I'm not surprised at all they're bringing in competition. I would be surprised if they didn't. They're obviously not going to go with Anthony Richardson and no backup. They brought in, it was Minshew last year, right?
No, two years ago. Flacco.
Yeah, like, they got to have a veteran behind him, right? Also, he's kind of injury prone because he runs so much.
Well, I think it's somebody not like Flacco. Like, I think they're going to bring in somebody who's going to actually beat him in the competition. You know, Flacco is your, that's a safety net. You know, Gardner Minshew's a safety net. You don't think he's actually going to win the job out of camp. You keep that guy on ice just in case dude gets hurt. I think they're going to bring in somebody, and that person's going to win the job. Like, again, I did not think they were going to go quarterback competition, because you draft the guy so high. I assume your jobs are attached to this. You got to make sure that he develops, and the only way you do that is by playing games. Not now.
So,
are they in it for Cousins? Are they in for Aaron Rodgers? What?
Aaron, I don't know. They're going to bring in a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and they might win the division. I don't want to disrespect the Texans. They're good, but I mean, it is the AFC South.
You know, it's so funny. I think of Shane Steichen from the Eagles, right? He was offensive coordinator for the Eagles. He had Jalen Hurts, and he maximized Jalen Hurts. He loves a quarterback who can get out of trouble to protect his offensive line. I think of him as a mobile quarterback guy. That's why, like, Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins feel nothing like what the Eagles had with Jalen Hurts. Like, it just doesn't fit in my mind what Steichen wants to run.
Well, Joe Flacco isn't exactly Mr. Wheels.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I can't see, like, the Shane Steichen, Aaron Rodgers marriage just seems funny to me. Like, all of a sudden, I don't know if the system is close to something Rodgers has run. Like, Steichen's going to teach Rodgers his offense next year in Indianapolis. That's kind of what I was like, oying. And, like, they'll be okay, and it is indoors. Maybe you actually are selling me a little bit on this, but if you go with Rodgers, obviously, then Richardson's a deep backup. Like, you're putting all your eggs in the Rodgers basket. The question is Cousins, Kirk Cousins and Anthony Richardson's are the exact opposite quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins, 2 years off an Achilles tear, can't move away from me. And then you have Anthony Richardson, who is 22-year-old and runs everywhere. It's just such an odd competition, right? Like, does that make any sense?
Well, I don't know. I mean, teams have different philosophies on backups. Sometimes your backup is the polar opposite of your starter, so that if he has to come in, then the defenses are all caught off guard, and, you know, it's a different thing. And sometimes your backup is a carbon copy.
How do you do the
facsimile of your starter?
How do you do a training camp competition between Kirk Cousins and Anthony Richardson? Presumably, you have two completely different offenses for both of them.
I think it's probably if you're thinking Richardson is not the dude. Again,
well, which he clearly is not. I mean, he's been terrible, but it's funny. He's still going to win a lot of games.
855-212-4227. I mean, what a disaster. On the flip side, we're asking you about good things in the NBA, which is the Luka Doncic Lakers and the now Jimmy Butler, Steph Curry Warriors. Who do you trust can get to the finals? Tyler's in Portland. Good morning, Tyler.
Hey, good morning, Maggie. Hey, so a couple months ago, I heard you guys talking about the Sonic Boom alarm clock. So I went out and bought one. Just for my wife. So the other day I set it for 3:30 in the morning and I plugged it in and wired it to the wall behind the headboard. Dude, it was priceless. She jumped out of bed, scrubs going. That thing is so loud. So I want to say thank you very much.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Tyler, do you generally prank your wife like this? Do you guys have that kind of relationship?
Yeah, she knows who she married. Let's put it that way.
What do you like, whoopee cushions stored around the house and short sheet of the bed?
No, we're kind of more darker than that. you know, like, I don't know. For instance, I was going in for surgery, and they had to put me out. So before I got put out, my wife was asking if maybe I couldn't wake up, that kind of thing. Just a real tongue-in-cheek relationship.
Wow. Wow.
That's love.
Yeah. It is. You guys, what? 96 for high school sweethearts.
Listen, way to keep it interesting. What a prank. Yeah. Your wife asking the doctor if you're not going to wake up from your surgery. What a gag. Well, I'm glad the sonic boom worked, and hopefully her nerves have calmed down a little
bit. So, I miss this show. What is a sonic boom alarm? I've never heard of it.
It's just an extra loud alarm clock. I don't know what we were talking about that day. It must have been sleeping through your alarm clock.
Yeah. So, the last thing was about the Mavericks. I mean, how do we know this isn't a new swing, and this is how owners are going to get out of paying Supermax deals?
By trading away their generational talents?
Well, I understand that, but, you know, it is a team sport. I know basketball is a one-on-one, you know, like one person can make more difference in basketball than I think almost any other sport. But, I mean, if you are all wrapped up into one guy opposed to three or four guys, I think a team can still win the championship. That's all.
So you kind of understand where the Mavs were. You kind of understand where the Mavs were coming from.
I absolutely do. But if we see this as a newer trend, if owners start doing it, then I think, you know, it's a way of getting out of way of paying hundreds of millions of dollars.
You know, Tyler, thank you for the phone call. I don't know if I could have a relationship with my husband where we prank each other all the time. That's not our dynamic. But I love people who do that. I've seen couples like that on Instagram and TikTok and stuff, and it does seem pretty fun. Listen, you're an NBA owner. You're going to end up spending a lot no matter what, but there is a difference. Like, the Detroit Pistons right now have the lowest salary in the NBA at $140 million all in, whereas the Phoenix Suns payroll is $220 million.
That's $80 million.
It's a difference, dude.
That is pretty small. I mean,
if that's $80 million in your pocket as an owner, it probably doesn't feel that small.
I don't know.
Not all these guys.
I thought you were
going to
give me like what baseball. Baseball feels a little wider rift, right?
Totally. Well, baseball's a kind of an abomination in some ways, where teams can spend $40 million on a roster.
I mean, that's ridiculous. If $80 million, because you just did a $2 billion TV deal. Why on earth would you care about that money?
Some teams aren't well run, dude.
Like, I don't think I think Nico Harrison thought he was winning with this team. I think he did it more for basketball than people think. I don't think it was just about money. I think he thought, oh man, Anthony Davis is awesome. We can be like the Lakers in 2020. I really think there was more basketball thought into this than money thought.
Yeah, and the fact that he didn't factor in Anthony Davis's injury history means that he needs his head examined.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll disagree. I think it's always about the money. Like in this instance, I definitely think that played a part. Mary is in San Francisco, wants to talk about her Dubs. Mary, do you trust the Warriors to make a finals run?
Hi, Maggie. You know, I do. And I, you know, talent notwithstanding, what Jimmy Buckets has brought to the cohesion, to the, I mean, I recognize it. I recognize the spark that has been missing, the one Draymond addressed last week on his podcast. Also, as a fan, yeah, for me, I have to have 100% belief. It's the best way to be a fan. 100% belief until it's completely mathematically impossible.
Yeah, Mary, love that. And, you know, you've seen a lot of winning in the Bay Area, so there's no reason not to believe. Yep. And thank you for the phone call. Appreciate the perspective. Not all fans are like Mary. I think there are a lot of fans who are the opposite of Mary, who she says she believes up until they're mathematically eliminated. I think there's a lot of fans who won't believe it, you know, don't want to believe it until, you know, it's staring them in the face.
I lost my belief on my team this weekend. Can't beat the Celtics, can't beat the Cavs. I mean, what are we in late February and I've already lost faith? So, I mean,
the Knicks are frauds, man.
I've never seen a bandwagon empty faster than the Knicks. And I know you guys aren't bandwagoners, but it is just insane. You guys lost a couple games in February. We have a month until the playoffs. Everyone is like, this team sucks. It's a college team.
Yeah, but this was the litmus test.
Well, I mean, also, too, like, the Warriors have had four rings, and, of course, Mary believes. But why would these guys believe? Like, it makes there's nothing to believe in.
Wow.
I mean, is Bill Bradley still in the house?
Like, well, that's what I'm saying, man. But here's the thing. Like, everyone's so high, especially around here, everyone's so high on the Knicks. Look at how they built the team, and they're back, and Bridges is the last piece of the puzzle. You lose two games and everyone's like, the sky is falling.
Because they can beat the bad teams. They got to beat a good team eventually.
Manny, the NBA regular season is the end-all be-all.
0-7 against the top teams in the league is a pretty loud number.
I know, but you know what? Here's the thing. You should be more concerned that last year they ran out of gas so badly they couldn't beat the Pacers. That's what you should be concerned about. Not that they can't beat the Cavs in February.
I don't know if they lost gas. They got hurt. That's the reason that they lost to the Pacers.
Okay.
I wouldn't say that they ran out of gas.
Were they hurt because of the usage?
A combination of things.
Yeah. I think, by the way, it's funny to me that the two best teams in the league all of a sudden in the East. Like, what happened there?
Cavs are awesome.
The Cavs are amazing.
They don't miss from behind the arc.
What's that?
They don't miss from behind the arc. Yeah. The Cavs. It's incredible.
Feels like Mitchell's on a mission, too. And I mean, is it fair to say the Knicks all of a sudden, like the Knicks, I kind of thought they might get the finals because the East stinks. Boston's probably going to have a hangover. And all of a sudden, like, ooh, geez. Happened there?
No way. We're destined for Cavs Celtics in the Eastern Finals.
And that team probably wins the finals.
Oh, that's
probably.
I mean, they're heavy favorites.
And they're more battle-tested as well than, you know, some of the other teams in the Western Conference.
I don't know.
Except
for
maybe the Nuggets.
Pretty crazy.
That's a funny thing, too. But, like, can any of those teams match up with the Celtics? Probably not.
Do you trust OKC to win a championship?
They're young.
They're still young, yeah.
And the Lakers are old.
So are the Warriors.
And the Cavs and the Celtics are just right.
Right.
855-212-4227. So we're asking you, who do you trust more to make a finals run? Is it the Cavaliers. Is it the Lakers now with Luka, or is it the Warriors now with Jimmy Butler? 855-212-4227. We've got so much more for you from the NFL Scouting Combine, and it is Wednesday, which means we will do the great debate at the top of the hour.
Back on Maggie and Perloff. We've lost Maggie temporarily. She's watching a live stream of a bald eagle sitting on two eggs and a baby.
Yeah, the baby hatched. This is down the street from my house. I told you guys, I live in New Jersey, but I live like in the sticks. It's not like Newark Airport. I live out like way out. And so there's a farm down the road, and they've had this bald eagle cam with this bald eagle in a nest for weeks, waiting for these three eggs that this bird's been sitting on to hatch. And yesterday, Bogish, maybe they should name it after you. It was your birthday yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday, one of the eggs hatched. And
we'll call it a loser.
Manny, there's...
Learn to read yet or no?
Nope.
Okay.
There's putabounty.com, Manny. There's somehow... Okay, so this is the biggest mystery. So one of the eggs hatches. There's like a baby bird in there, and she's sitting on two of the eggs, and she'll roll over to try to like help the eggs hatch. Apparently, I read that on the blog. But here's my question. There's two dead fish in the nest. How did those dead fish get there? Did she leave the eggs?
They flew.
But did she leave the eggs to go hunt for the fish? Or is there a partner?
Okay.
Or did the people at the farm maybe toss some like dead fish into the nest?
Well, I was wondering how they must have a system for this in nature. Otherwise, the eagles would not have evolved into what they are. I watch a lot of Hostile Planet on National Geographic.
Yeah. And I knew you'd be good for this conversation.
In the Arctic, there's this one. I think they're actually eagles. They have a problem where their mom is with the babies, but she has to go down to the river to hunt.
Right.
So the babies have to learn to fly immediately, and they don't know how to fly, so they fall about a mile down and hit the ground at full strength.
A mile?
It's crazy. I'll send this clip to you. But the eagles' bodies are specifically designed to take this fall. They don't know how, so basically they got to get the babies down to the river so they can hunt together.
Oh, interesting.
But then there could be a male. Obviously there is a system. That's so disappointing to me if somebody put dead fish in there. Like, let nature take its course.
Well, here's the thing. I would wonder if someone interferes, if human interferes, and threw a couple dead fish into the bald eagle's nest, which is what I'm watching on a live stream, and I become obsessed with it. Does the eagle then get spooked and leave and abandon the baby and abandon the eggs because they don't know that this isn't like a predator, you know, this isn't a sign of bad things? So I don't think humans can interfere beyond whoever set this camera up.
It's a gorgeous animal, too.
So we have something called a raptor trust near our house, which is like where they house these birds of prey.
Well, so if you have a little dog in your neighborhood, say goodbye to Fifi.
Dude, there are some hawks that go around our hood that are just bananas. Their wingspan. I'm like, what's that shadow? It's like, is that a pterodactyl?
Hunted
right now?
So cool. By the way, in our neighborhood, they send out falcons in the morning to hunt rats.
Yeah, very different.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. There's a guy who comes out from the city, has a falcon on his arm, sends him out so they scare the rats away from all the parks.
Do they actually kill the rats?
They probably kill some of them, but the rats probably try and get away. Like, it might just scare them like a cat. But yeah, they definitely kill the rats. They eat rats all the time.
Where we go on the Jersey Shore every summer, they have a guy, a falcon person come, and the falcon will fly the boardwalk, and it scares the seagulls away.
Otherwise,
the seagulls, there's like 50 of them floating around waiting for hot dogs, popcorn, a french fry to fall, and they have a feeding frenzy. So the falcon guy comes, it swoops around, blows the whistle, lands on his arm, no seagulls, and the falcon goes home.
Just so the saltwater taffy place doesn't have seagulls bothered.
Yeah.
Seagulls are super annoying.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Very.
But like simultaneously dumb and smart because they stay away for like the rest of the day, but then like, oh, the sun's up, we can go back there. And then they get scared again by the falcon. Like, it's not. It's like a daily Groundhog Day thing.
It's like 50 first dates.
They don't ever sign off on the boardwalk. They go back, get scared again, go back, get scared again.
Yeah, there's nothing cooler than birds of prey used for like basic cleaning techniques. This is great. I need one in my apartment.
This has been very educational. I didn't know about the great rivalries of rats and falcons and seagulls and falcons. This is great.
Ray, stick with us, man. You never know what you're going to learn. Meanwhile, just glued to this bald eagle live stream.
Are you watching it right now?
I am. I can do multiple things. Like take a call from Russ in California. We're asking, are you more confident in the Lakers or the Warriors to make an NBA Finals run? Russ, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm more confident in the Lakers. They've got weapons. Talking about like triple-double potential weapons. I mean, you talk about Reeves, Doncic, and LeBron. They've got similar games. They're triple-double machines. And then you got Connect and Rui. These guys are weapons. You know, you pretty much got at least a couple weapons every minute of the game. And you've got guys that can just hit the clutch shots when it matters. And, you know, I'm just saying, they're just a deeper team.
You know, Russ, you're right about the weapons, but and I'm picking the Warriors here, but I understand your thought process, and Perloff thinks it's the Lakers. But the Reeves, Doncic, LeBron, James trifecta, not exactly your defensive Bermuda Triangle there. You know what I'm saying? Like, Reeves is a defensive liability. LeBron can turn it up when it counts, and Doncic is obviously the defensive liability.
Yeah.
So these guys are awesome on one end, but on the other end, it can be lacking.
Yeah, but they've kind of figured it out. They bring in Dorian Finney-Smith and Jared Vanderbilt, who do nothing but defense. They're like, you know, Bruce Bowen types. I got to give J.J. Redick a lot of credit. All the numbers say they fix their defense. Now, the question is, what happens when they go against all those Thunder weapons?
Mm.
Everything you just said about the Lakers, you could say about the Oklahoma City Thunder, too. And you know, the Nuggets are red hot, too. It's going to be a while. I cannot wait for the playoffs, and I cannot wait for the stupid regular season to be done. They have to cut that season from 82 games to 62 games so we can actually enjoy this.
Don't worry, but we're going to have March Madness. It's going to start soon. We'll get a total distraction, and then by the time we get done cutting down the nets, it's basically time for the playoffs.
Yeah, and the more we talk about it, the Western Conference playoffs are going to be so epic this year. And then they'll probably lose to Boston. But anyway, it's all good.
We'll see. Joe's in L.A. Joe, what do you think? Lakers or the Warriors? Hey. Who do you trust?
Let me tell you something. This is a fantastic show. I'm driving down to San Diego. It's 5:30 in the morning. I am a big talk show enthusiast. And this is one of the best conversations I have. I don't know your names, right?
Is it the bald eagle stuff?
But let me tell you what you said that you're right on, young lady, is that Luka's a generational player, and they traded him to Los Angeles, and there could be a major reason why they did that, because Adelson, who is now the major stakeholder in the Dallas Mavericks, no longer Mark Cuban, is a Vegas resident. Her husband has passed away, was a very big casino owner.
Yep.
Very, very big in the Republican Party, a Trump supporter.
Yep.
And there's NBA basketball coming to Las Vegas. Who is it going to be? We don't know. They're not going to start with a franchise team. There's a good possibility. There's a good possibility that they unloaded him because they're going to go ahead and force the NBA to have pity on them when they go into the tank, and that'll give them enough reason for her to watch her Las Vegas team right inside the state. But let me share something else that you're talking about, and this is really important, what you mentioned. These contracts in the NBA, the guaranteed contracts, are the kiss of death for the NBA. Look at the Embiid contract. Look at these contracts that are Rudy Gobert, four number ones for Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Look at the Bradley Beal contract in Phoenix, which it has totally Did I say totally? Totally decimated the Phoenix Suns.
The Bradley Beal contract was bad the day they put pen to paper. And the fact that he had the no trade clause that went from the old contract to the new contract just made it even worse. You know, Joe, you're not wrong about that. Some of these contracts are
question.
So big.
I got one question for you.
Sure.
If these general managers are so smart, and these owners, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, how do they make such stupid deals?
Well, Joe, thank you for the phone call. I'm glad we could keep you company on your ride down to San Diego. I mean, the answer is just because you're smart in one business doesn't mean you're going to be smart in another. And the guy who owns the Phoenix Suns, Matt Ishbia, is a wizard if you need a mortgage. You need a mortgage? He's got you. But when it comes to basketball and running a basketball team, clearly the guy still has a lot to learn.
Yeah, I mean, the money, the Beal contract obviously was terrible. I thought the Mavs said they were going to stay, by the way. And is that just lip service?
I think they did say they're going to stay. Yeah. I mean, Dallas is such a huge market.
And I totally understand the thinking there, but I still feel it unlikely that they're the team that moves to Vegas.
No, so there was that thought process that, and I call this the basically the plot of Major League. Remember the movie, the sports movie, Major League, where the woman husband died and she wants to move the team from Cleveland to Miami, right? And so she needed to make them really bad so that she could have a cover to move them from Cleveland to Miami, the old Major League plot. This, I don't think, is that. I think this is, we need to gain influence in the state of Texas because Texas, along with California, are two states that don't have legalized sports betting in the way that you see in many other states. And between that and building casinos, I think they see a major cash cow.
Right. So, but again, I have trouble connecting. So if they want to gain influence and gather attention, like why trade your best player?
I think owning a sports team, whether you're Luka Doncic is on it or not, grants you a lot of currency with local politicians. And those are the people you're trying to convince, not the public. It's
so
the politician.
But what impact does the trade have on that effort?
Why would you spend $350 million on one guy when you're really just here to build a casino and not actually build a championship basketball team? This
so
is what I'm saying.
They're connected but not connected. The idea is like they don't want to be a good owner, but they just want to own so that they can influence Texas.
And we talked about this last segment, the difference between the floor and the even with the luxury tax is not that. It's just crazy to me. Also, I don't think that they're going to be that far. I don't think you said the $140 million for the Pistons. Like, they're going to pay Kyrie next year, right? So
there's also the argument, shorter-term deal. It's not going to be the super max.
But I still think they're going to be spending $200 million on their payroll, probably. Like, especially, they're going to be spending a ton of money on payroll anyway. Like, the whole, that's not enough for me to trade Luka, obviously.
Well, the other part I'll disagree with Joe is that I do think the league's going to expand to Las Vegas. I don't think they're going to move a team. I think it's going to be, I actually think LeBron's going to be involved, if you want to go down some conspiracy theories.
Yeah, sure.
I think that they are going to expand to Vegas, and it's going to happen soon.
And that's the main counter to the Mavs, is that the league will not pass up an expansion fee.
Right.
Which Major League Baseball just did, which was stupid of them.
Right. Baseball's not the example.
But here's the thing, though, about the team, whether getting rid of the Luka contract, like if you're trying to bring in a casino and you're like, well, let's cut $40 million off our payroll, you're bringing in like $1 billion with that casino. $40 million is less than 1% of that. Like, that's a crazy misuse of, like, to save like a penny here when you're about to make $1,000 there, that's nuts. Like, you should put as much money as you can in this team because you'll make 50 times that.
First, they've got to get the approvals and literally pass like legislature.
Right. They'd get more approval. If they're a championship level team, they definitely have a better chance of getting that approval, I think. I mean, so I'm thinking like that would have been a better route to me. I think they actually thought Anthony Davis was going to bring them a title. I think we're underrating what they thought of Anthony Davis, but that's just me.
Bogus has headlines for us. What's up, folks?
Guys, I think most of us know by now that Major League Baseball is using a challenge system for balls and strikes during most spring training games. It could be used in real games by next season. Umpire Mike Malinsky had some fun with a challenge during yesterday's Angels-Padres game.
Good. Breaking ball just misses. Brett Sullivan going to challenge.
Ball call.
Brett has been expert at the ABS system.
Ooh.
The call is surprisingly correct. Three.
That's great.
Oh, we told you. Mike Malinsky, one of our favorites.
Oh, man.
A little sarcasm, maybe a little self-glaze there from Malinsky.
Whoa. Okay.
wait, hold on a second.
PutABounty.com.
Oh, Ray wasn't here last week.
No, yeah.
Yeah,
Ray, sorry, questions. This is just something you can say now. According to J.J. Redick and Ray Ferrara, you can just use that word and everyone's cool with it.
Sorry about the clip.
The self part lost me, but okay.
What is the... What is going on here?
Where should I? Where do you want to begin?
Explain it to me like I'm fine.
Is Brett Sullivan a manager?
It doesn't matter.
Who is Brett Sullivan?
So I guess no one knows. The system is the pitcher, the batter, or the catcher after a pitch can call for a challenge of the home plate's umpire's decision.
And that's happening this season.
Perloff missed this. He was on vacation last week.
They're experimenting. They've been doing it in the minors. They're doing it in most spring training games now. The earliest, though, would be in the majors, real games, is next season.
Okay, so they're not doing it this year. They're experimenting within
preseason. Yes, they're fine-tuning,
right,
making sure it's good, getting people used to it, but it can't be this coming season. It'll be next season.
But it's awesome. Have you seen people do it? It's like tennis. All you do, you tap your head like too many men on the field. And, right, that's too many men.
Who, the manager or the catcher?
The catcher, the pitcher, or the batter.
Oh, sorry, you said
that. Not the manager. Any of those three people, you have two challenges per game. Tap your head. And then it goes to, like, the Hawkeye. It's immediate, just like tennis, in and out on, like, baselines and sidelines. And you see it in 5 seconds.
Like an animation like tennis?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let me ask another question. So the player, you're trusting the player? Like, the manager has to. If you only get two challenges, don't you want the manager to control that? Because every player is going to want to use the challenge.
Yeah, this is what we talked about last week. Yeah. I'm sorry you were on vacation. Yeah, who gets the green light to even challenge? Yeah. Is it only your veterans? Is it
only after the seventh inning?
Right, you still only have two. Right. This is all strategy.
Because in the NBA, you see guys screw up all the time late in the game, and they just do that motion, like, replay it. Replay it because you just threw the ball into the third row. You can't trust players.
You can theoretically do it 8 times if you keep getting it right. So it's not just 2 challenges, it's 2 incorrect challenges. Yeah. So there are a few more chances to get it right. But I would think that the strategy will be you need to know the system, you need to know the situation, and don't do it in the first inning when you're the second batter of the game and no one's on base.
Has that been decided for sure that the manager's not going to make the final call, or is that still being worked out too?
I mean, in this system, it's only in the minors, it's only been pitcher, catcher, batter. And it's got to be pretty quick, so you can't even look to the dugout for them to think about it.
Like football where you can wait for the coaches in the box to get the replay.
And also, honestly, the batter has the better perspective than the manager. In the dugout, you can't tell what's a ball and a strike.
Right. Maybe you have someone call up from upstairs.
No, you can't. It has to be faster than that. It has to be immediate.
Well, it would have to. I mean, for the manager, you're right. The manager can't even see, so it's got to be. Well, I think you could do that real quick. Like, you could just say, have a headphone.
No, I mean, you can't. You have to go, the pitch hits the glove, ball, and you got to go. Challenge that.
So
there's no time for anyone to pick up a phone and call the dugout and then yell out to Juan Soto to challenge it.
It's
just not allowed.
Now you're going to find out who's a smart player and who's a dumb player really fast.
I think if your contract doesn't start with a 2 or a 3 in front of it in terms of millions, then I don't know if you get the green light to challenge.
I love in the NFL when a guy clearly traps a ball and is like, throw the flag. Throw the flag. Every wide receiver is exactly like that. Like, the ball bounces 4 feet in front of you. Throw that flag. That's going to be great. Sorry I missed this story. And once again, who's Brett Sullivan?
That doesn't matter.
He's an outfielder for the Phillies.
He's not.
Perloff's favorite player in 6 weeks. Just wait.
I was like, sometimes I don't know every manager. I'm like, Brett Sullivan is the manager of whatever team that was? No, thank God. I'm catching up on this story. Thank you, folks.
It was my pleasure. You might have heard Luka Doncic played with the Lakers against the Mavs the first time last night. 19 points, 15 rebounds, 12 assists. Lakers won in L.A., 107-99. The Cavaliers cruised through Orlando, 122-82. For an 8th straight win, Georgia wasted a 26-point first-half lead, then beat third-ranked Florida 88-83. It's their first top-5 win in 21 seasons. And Alex Ovechkin, another goal last night, now 883 for his career. Did come in a Capitals loss, 3-1 to Calgary. Ovi now needs 12 to pass Wayne Gretzky for the most all time. Old man, young lady, back to you.
Love when people call me young lady. It's great. Okay, thank you, folks. Coming up, so much more to do, including a package deal in the NFL. We'll get to that next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get to a potential pairing in the NFL. I didn't know this was going to happen again. But first, I'm going to put a lot of faith into taking our next caller. Because I told you guys that I've been obsessed with this live stream of a bald eagle, Pearl, that is sitting on two eggs, and the third egg hatched yesterday. So now the bald eagle's sitting on two eggs and a baby bird, and then she's feeding the baby bird because there's a dead fish that got into the nest. She must have hunted it, and she's feeding the bird, and it's like endlessly fascinating. And Big Easy is calling from New Orleans, and the topic just says live cam streams. Now, Big Easy, I'm putting my faith into you here that you're not going to take our show into an untoward place.
I actually would be more interested if you went that direction,
Good morning,
Big Easy.
Guys.
How you doing?
This is how it is. That's Jackie and Shadow. Shadow's the one that's bringing the fish to Jackie so she can eat. And she's the one that sits with the eggs most of the time. Shadow does go in there and sits down on the eggs every once in a while. But that's how the fish are going to get, how they get there. And they've been together since the last, I guess, two series of eggs they had. Now, the kind of weird thing about it is that I'm glad this one hatched, because the two eggs they had prior to this, when they don't, they have a certain amount of time they have to hatch. Mm. If they don't hatch, the mother's got to eat the eggs.
Ooh.
That's what's weird about this.
Wait a minute. Big Easy, you're watching the same live stream I am of these, of this bald eagle in New Jersey? Or are you watching a different live stream?
Oh, I didn't know they had another one. So I'm talking about the one in Big Bear.
Oh, no, I'm talking about one in New Jersey that's, like, pretty close to where I live.
I didn't hear the Jersey part of it, Maggie.
Yeah, no, that's okay. So you're telling me, though, that there is a partner for the eagle that's going and doing the hunting.
Absolutely. And whatever about one you're watching, there's a partner that goes and gets the food. And he brings it. That's his job.
Okay.
You know, he sits and on the eggs while she eats. She goes and flies just a little bit, just to get the wings flapping a little bit, and then she
gets some
back.
Exercise.
Big Easy, can I ask a question? Because you sound like you know about these things. This is,
I do.
This is it has nothing to do with eagles. It's about lions.
Mm.
So I've seen every version of the Lion King. How come the female lions hunt and take care of the kids? Like, what does the male lion actually do? I've always
they
been
have
fascinated.
One job.
What's that?
I can answer that question too.
I knew
they
you
have
could.
One job. It's his job to block off all the other incoming nomad lions, male lions that come into their territory.
Mm.
They have to protect their young. The mother, the queen, decides who she's going to have the babies. And at that point, his job is to protect that young and that pride. That is the only job he has.
Got it. So he's security, basically.
But right. But in the eagles, the male is the hunter, though. So you're
well,
saying?
Well, technically, yes, you could say he's the hunter. But that's basically his job. And by the way, the eggs have to turn.
Yeah.
They have to turn them. They have to rotate them because the egg the bird inside the shell will stick to the side of the shell. And it won't hatch, so they have to rotate them every once in a while. I think
Big Easy. I can watch that on the live stream. It's like the bird's kind of like shaking back and forth, and it's to turn the eggs, Pearl. But there's a hatched bird under there too that she's feeding.
Feels like the male's job is usually pretty easy compared to I hate to say this, like the women animals, I think they're underpaid.
Tell me about it. Do it twice the work for half the pay. No, Big Easy, thank you so much for that. I'm going to check out the live stream from Big Bear, but what a wealth of knowledge that last caller, our pal Big Easy, was. But here's the thing. You really want to have to fight other lions to try to keep the pride safe? That doesn't sound like a picnic.
Well, yeah, but I was thinking the eagle.
You could die.
But I was actually thinking the male eagle's job is easy. Like, all he does is go get a couple fish. Like, the female has to sit there all the time. Don't you think it's unfair that the female lions have to do all the hunting and all the childcare? Like,
maybe they're better at it. Maybe everyone would starve to death if the lionesses weren't out there bringing home the bacon, literally.
All the male has to do is strut around and be tall? Like, that seems like they don't do
it. He's got to fight the other lions that come to take the pride.
I don't think they actually have to fight
them. Lionesses are going to have to negotiate a new, CBA kind of situation.
Terrible union leadership for the lionesses.
I mean, also, too, we have those pesky hyenas from the hinterlands, too. Listen, I'm pretty much an expert because, as I said, I've seen both versions of Lion King, the cartoon, the live version, the spinoff series.
You're basically a zoologist.
I know as much as Big Easy about all this, but yeah, it is interesting to me how the roles of the male and the female, especially with these eagles, like, where's your male eagle? You got to keep watching your stream. Probably there's got to be another eagle.
It's probably doing the tush push somewhere and bragging about it.
Yeah, there's got to.
Like all eagles.
You can laugh off push, that way. That's a dad joke.
I know, which I thought you would appreciate.
I did. Well, I did. Like, normally I expect better from you, actually. But
he's giggling, so.
There's
got to be another bird. We got to get to the bottom of this.
Somehow there's two dead fish in this nest. I don't know how they got there.
It's got to be the father.
Sounds like a deadbeat to me.
Oh, wow.
855-212-4227. All right, coming up, we got more for you. An unlikely pairing, perhaps, in the NFL, and what one team had to say about their star who asked for a trade. M&P.